Mark chapter 5 and the verse 21. Mark chapter 5 and we're reading from the verse 21. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment. For she said, If I might touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And in the verse 34, he that's Jesus said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. While he yet spake, there came one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, a certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save or except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand, and said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. They were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Amen. We'll end our reading there. Trust in the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious truth. Mark chapter 5, and our text is found in the verse 36. Mark chapter 5 and verse 36, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. Be not afraid, only believe. We'll seek the Lord's face together, please, in prayer. We need the Lord's help as we come around his word, and let us come before him then together. Our gracious Father, we do thank thee for the precious word of God. We thank thee that this is a living word. Lord, we pray that as we come now to consider thy truth together, that we will know the Lord drawing near to us. Lord, we pray for the power of God to be manifested in our midst here this morning. O Lord, come down, we pray, in mighty upon us. Lord, we do pray that as the word of God is preached, that mighty unction will be given from heaven. We thank thee, Lord, that these words that were spoken all of those years ago to Jairus are still the living word of God to us today. Lord, we pray then that thou wilt write these words upon all of our hearts. Give that unction of the Spirit, we pray. In the Lord's name we cry. Amen. Amen. The Gospel of Mark makes it very clear that there is an important relationship between fear and faith. An important relationship between fear and faith. When there is unbelief, there will be fear. When there's a lack of faith, there will be fear. If you look back at the end of chapter 4 in the verse 40, we have the account of the storm on the Sea of Galilee. The Lord said unto the disciples, "Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith?" And surely we can draw from that they were afraid because they did not have faith. If you look then in chapter 5 and the verse 15, chapter 5 and the verse 15, and we read here of the people of the country of the Gadarenes coming out after the man had been delivered of the legion of demons. In verse 15, they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind. And they were afraid. And here again we have this word afraid. Why were they afraid? Well, the reason is very evident in the verse 17, where it says, "They began to pray him to depart out of their coasts." They rejected him. They would not believe and receive him. And in their rejection then, there was that fear. Then we have these words in the verse 36, where the Lord, in the context of the hearing of this news of the death of the daughter of Jairus, the Lord said to Jairus, "Be not afraid, only believe." The last time we saw how earnest Jairus was as he came to meet with the Lord, because in the verse 22, it speaks towards the end of the verse that when he saw him, he fell at his feet. And so there was this submission. And then in verse 23, he besought him greatly. And there was this very earnest prayer, great pleading on the part of Jairus before the Lord. And he came then with this passionate heart, yearning that the Lord might indeed come and touch his daughter. Now, an account of Jairus being so well known in that community, he was a ruler in the synagogue. Perhaps an account of the case of his daughter being so emotive, she was only 12 years old and yet at the point of death. Great interest was being stirred in this particular case. And so as the Lord began to go with Jairus, the crowds were thronging in, longing to know what was going to take place. And presumably the thronging of the crowd around Jairus and the Saviour was slowing down his progress. And then there was this interruption that we looked at last Lord's Day, where the lady with the issue of blood reached out and touched the Lord's clothes. And I showed you last Lord's Day that in a sense this need not have been an interruption, that the Lord ordained it that way, because the lady desired this to be in secret, and so the Lord could have just carried on, but the Lord took the time to stop and to speak with her. But as he did so, the Lord dismissed the woman in the verse 34, where he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." Go in peace. And you can try and imagine Jairus, and all the time that the Lord is speaking to the woman with the issue of blood, Jairus is thinking in his heart, "Oh, that the Lord would hurry up, that the Lord would come, because time is running away." And just as he heard the Lord say to the woman, "Go home in peace," he then heard other tragic words. In verse 35, the message came that his daughter was dead. And here then, we can try to imagine some of the distress that Jairus found himself in. Surely he must have now been thinking, all hope is gone. Hope seemed small as the clock was ticking, but now it is too late. And yet while I'm sure he thought now it was too late, The Lord came and spoke these comforting words, "Be not afraid, only believe." And I'm told the tense of the words in the Greek for the word afraid has the idea of stopping something that has already commenced. And so when the Lord said, "Be not afraid," he was speaking of something that was already in existence. Be no longer afraid, or stop being afraid, but believe. Stop being afraid, keep on believing. Perhaps this is God's word to someone in the meeting this morning. Stop being afraid, only believe. Perhaps there's someone in the meeting and you are outside of Christ. The Lord has been dealing with your heart. The Lord has been awakening you to your great need. And you feel the weight of sin. You feel the guilt of your sin. You recognize that you deserve eternal wrath. And you, while you recognize that you deserve it, you're under that state of great dread and fear. Here surely is a word from the Lord to you. Be not afraid. It's now time to believe. No longer stay in that great place of great fear. It's time that you would turn to Christ. That you would rest on Him. Perhaps there is some child of God here. And you have been experiencing great upheaval in your Christian life. And here was a loving father. It's very evident that he was that. He was one that enjoyed many precious moments with this only daughter that he had. He spoke of her as his little daughter. Now back at that particular time in the Holy Land, a girl of 12 wouldn't really have been regarded as a little daughter, because there was great pressure upon the girls to mature very quickly. Apparently many of the young girls were married by the time they were 14. And therefore, to refer to a girl as being little would have been something rather unusual. But Jairus was like most fathers. No matter what age she would have been, she would still be his little girl. And there was that heart of great tenderness toward her. Now he was beginning to try and imagine something of what it would be to live without her. And all of that joy that there had been in that home seemed to have just crashed. His life now seemed shattered. But the Lord drew near and tenderly spoke these words, "Jairus, stop fearing. Believe." And perhaps this is the word of God then to some dear child of God this morning. You can identify with that great upheaval. You can identify with all of the suffering. Here is God's word to you. Stop being afraid. Only believe. There is one group of people that this word is not for. And that is for the lost who are unconcerned. Or for the false professor, the one that has made a profession of Christ and there's no reality. Well, there's no concern in his heart about that. As we think of the great mass of mankind today, we can say in the words of Romans 3:18, there is no fear of God before their eyes. And they live every day without fear of eternity, without fear of standing before their Maker. And as such then, this is not God's word to them. The Lord does not say to them, stop fearing. Rather, he says, be afflicted and mourn. He says to them, it is time that you were grieved. It's time that you were grieved over your sin. And as you feel the weight of that sin, as you feel the guilt of that sin, then God's word is, don't be afraid any longer. Come and believe. And so we want to look here this morning at a word from Christ. Don't be afraid, only believe. I want to see, first of all, the peace that this word or this message brings. For when the Lord spoke these words in verse 36, be not afraid, only believe, Jairus was standing in the road, and the message that he had heard just a moment or two before is that, that his daughter was dead. But as I mentioned a moment or two before, just Before he had heard those words, he heard the words in verse 34. To the woman with the issue of blood, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. And it's evidently go home in peace. And this was the very thing that he yearned for. That is, it's the very thing that Jairus yearned for. He wished that he could go home in peace. Now it seems that that was going to be an absolute impossibility. He may even have thought to himself that it seems so unfair that the Lord was coming with me, and while Jairus would rejoice that the Lord had put his hand upon this woman that had suffered for 12 years. It was his yearning that the Lord would touch his daughter, who was 12 years old. And it seemed so unfair then that this lady could go home in peace. But for Jairus, he was not going home to a home of peace. He was going home to a place of chaos and upheaval. And for him, the idea of peace seemed an impossibility. When the Lord said to him, "Now, be not afraid," or "stop being afraid, only believe," surely in a sense the Lord was saying, you can know peace. And so though it was peace different from the woman went home knowing that the plague was gone, yet the Lord was saying to Jairus, you can go in peace with me. You can know peace as you trust in me. Now certainly there would be peace when his daughter would get up and walk. Certainly there would be peace when he would see the girl not only alive but delivered from the sickness that she had before she died. There would be peace when he would see her eating, seeing that this was a true resurrection. But yet the Lord was saying, yes, there'll be peace then, but there can't be peace now. Stop being afraid, not in an hour's time, but stop being afraid right now. Only believe. Now Luke records that the Lord said something after these words, be not afraid, only believe, that Mark doesn't give to us. And those words are these, she shall be made whole. She shall be made whole. So the Lord said to Jairus, be not afraid, only believe. Your little girl is going to be made well. She is going to be delivered from the sickness, delivered even from death. And I feel that Mark doesn't give us those words because he is holding his readers in suspense. And so we don't find out what is actually going to happen until we actually read of the miracle itself taking place. But as we think of those words the Lord was saying to Jairus, stop being afraid, only believe, because I'm going to make your young girl whole. What a great challenge that was. Because Jairus had to take Christ at his word. He had never witnessed anything like this before. He had never witnessed someone that was dead being raised from the dead. That is, Jairus had never witnessed that before. And yet, he could know peace. Remember how Paul in Romans 15 verse 13 said, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. There is peace for God's people in believing, in trusting, in resting. And here then there was a word from Christ to Jairus, don't be afraid, only believe. And this message was bringing peace. And today if you are in the midst of a storm and you naturally feel afraid, here the Lord says to you, stop being afraid. Enjoy peace. Take me at my word. Only believe. So then we see the peace that this word brings. But I want to see secondly the person that this word or this message is centered upon. When the Lord said at the end of verse 36, be not afraid, only believe, what was Jairus to believe? What was it that the Lord wanted him to believe? The thing that he was to believe was not so much a creed, but rather it was a person. It's not so much what he was to believe, but who he was to believe. The challenge really was this to Jairus: don't be afraid, believe only in me. If you look with me at those two examples of faith and fear that I showed you at the beginning of the message, chapter 4 and the verse 40, where the Lord said unto the disciples, "Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no fear?" Now, what was the problem with faith in that particular context? The problem there was their failure to believe in the power of Jesus Christ. Because remember how the disciples came and they said, "Carest thou not that we perish?" So it wasn't merely a creed that was the problem. They failed to have faith in Christ's power. They accused him of caring not that they would perish. Then chapter 5 and the verse 15. At the end of that verse, they were afraid. The people of that community, and the reason is given in verse 17. They said, "Depart." Why were they afraid? It's all to do with their rejection of him personally. They had no faith in him. And so when the Lord said to Jairus, "Believe," he was saying, "Believe in me." And you think of the words of the Lord to the disciples, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Or in Acts 16:31, when Paul and Silas said to the jailer, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." The faith is centered upon a person. Now, whether we apply the words of this message, "Be not afraid, only believe," whether we apply that to the sinner or to the Christian, ultimately this statement is exhorting every individual to have high views of Christ. We are to trust in Christ, we are to believe in him, because of his great power. If you look at verse 23, it says there of Jairus that he besought the Lord greatly, saying, "My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live." Surely can commend Lazarus for what he said there. And he said, "If you come and touch my child, she shall be healed, and then she'll live." And we must commend Jairus then that here was a man and that was the ruler of the Jewish synagogue. His colleagues around him rejected Christ. They were plotting against him. And yet Jairus publicly said, "If you come to my house, if you touch my daughter will be healed and she shall live." But there is also a sense that Jairus was also limiting the power of Christ. For if you notice what he says there in that particular verse, the verse 23, he says, "Come and lay thy hands on her." And so he's saying to her, "You must come to my house. Your physical presence must be there beside the girl. And when you physically come, then use your physical touch." So Jairus felt that he needed the Lord's physical presence to be there and the Lord's physical touch upon the girl. And that's very interesting and significant, because there was a Gentile man, a centurion, who only a few weeks or months earlier had asked the Lord to heal his servant. If you look with me in Luke chapter 7, and this centurion had been very generous toward the local Jewish people. In verse 5, you read of how he had built them a synagogue, and it's possible, though we can't be absolutely sure about that, but it's possible that it was the very synagogue that Jairus was a ruler in. And so it may well be that Jairus knew this centurion very well. Undoubtedly, he knew the story of what had happened. Now, if you look with me in the verse 6, Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, "Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof." And so he's saying, "I'm not good enough that your physical presence would be in my house. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. And so he is saying, not only do you not need to be physically there, your physical touch doesn't even need to be experienced. Just speak the word, and the servant will be healed. And in verse 9, at the end of the verse, the Lord said, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. There was the centurion, and his faith was so much greater than Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, and we commend Jairus for as much as he did say, and the faith that he did have. But it was limited then to the Lord's physical presence and the Lord's physical touch. It's interesting that when the Lord did intervene and did come to the girl, we read in the verse 41, he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha Kumi, which has been interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. Straightway the damsel arose. And while the Lord took her by the hand, it was actually the voice that the Lord used to raise her from the dead. And so the Lord didn't do it in the way that Jairus had expected and had planned. But thinking of this then, Jairus was hearing now these words, be not afraid, only believe. And the Lord was then to show him that he could believe, that he need not fear because of the power of Christ. Christ's power was infinitely greater than anything that he had anticipated. And as we apply that then to the sinner, the one that is awakened to feel the weight of his sin, he recognizes his need. He recognizes his guilt. He tries to cleanse himself. He can't do it. He tries the help of others. They can't do it. But the good news is this, that Christ is more than able to do it. And the Lord then says to the awakened sinner, stop being afraid. Stop doing it your own way. Believe. Will you believe? But then we can, you see, there's not only this challenge to Jairus as far as this power in relation to his plan, but I want you to notice words with me over in verse 35, Mark chapter 5 and verse 35. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue a certain which said, thy daughter is dead, why troublest thou the master any further? Now it was good that they referred to the Lord here as the master. Now, that word master actually has the idea of teacher. But I want you to think of that word troublest. Why cause this teacher any further trouble? Why harass him any longer? And they were saying to Jairus, don't make a nuisance of yourself anymore. It's too late. Miserable comforters they were. Do you think of that claim? You're being troublesome. How untrue that was. And as the Lord went to the house of Jairus, he made it absolutely clear it was no trouble to him. No difficulty, no matter how great, is too troublesome for the Lord. Perhaps as you think of your problem, and you think, well, my problem is too great. My trouble is too weighty. But here we find that is certainly not the case. And the Lord's word to you then, child of God, today is stop being afraid. Only believe. Believe in the Lord's person, in his power, his mighty ability, his great willingness to intervene. Don't be afraid. Only believe. So I've seen the peace this word brings, the person the word centres upon. And I want to see finally the prudence that this word requires. And for as you think of Jairus walking along the road now, going to his home, the Lord is with him. The Lord said to him, she shall be made whole. And I'm sure at the beginning of the journey, Jairus must have been full of anticipation as to what was going to take place. Then look at verse 38.
He cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue. And remember, Jairus came as well to his own home. And save the tumult, them that wept and wailed greatly. Now, the funeral of a Jew, back in those times, and apparently it's still the same today, was not a quiet affair as far as it being a time of a quiet contemplation. But rather, funerals and times of mourning, they were filled with great noise. And so when someone would die, and as the wake would take place, professional mourners would come and they would make a lot of crying and noise outside the home. And then some people playing flutes would come and again they would make a lot of noise outside the home. And that's what happened then as the news of this little girl began to spread. These mourners came. The noise was being made outside the house. And Jairus, that had all of this confidence in the Lord, surely in a sense, it must have been torn from him. As he saw all of this noise and disturbance. But then, if you look with me at the verse 40. After the Lord had spoken, they laughed him to scorn. And as the Lord then had said to him, be not afraid, only believe, she shall be made whole. The same Lord that had spoken to the crowd and said, this is sleep. Not that she wasn't dead, but the Lord was showing that this was a temporary state, that she was going to be raised. As the Lord spoke those words, she is asleep. The Lord was scorned. You think of how Jairus, he was resting on the word of the Lord, and now others, they were scorning the word of that same individual. Surely this was a trial. This was a temptation. Should he still believe in what the Lord had spoken? But I want you to see in verse 40 what happened. They laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out. He put them all out. The words in the Greek are very strong. The word put out there is actually the Greek word for threw out. And as if the Lord took them by the scruff of the neck as he threw them out through the door. And he saw that those individuals, while they came to mourn, that they were a hindrance to faith. That the Lord was doing something to strengthen the faith of Jairus. But here was company that was just a hindrance. And the Lord took them, he opened the door, and he cast them out. Now surely there's a very important lesson for us in that. For as we think of these words, be not afraid, only believe. It's all very well in the house of God to say, what a great word this is. Be not afraid, only believe. When we go out through the door and we return to our homes, very quickly, the fear can return. Because there are there those various hindrances to faith. The various things that we listen to. Various things that we read or hear, they hinder our faith. What are we to do? We are to open the door and we're to cast them out. If there are various things that are causing us to fear and therefore bringing unbelief, and unbelief in turn bringing fear, we must seek to cast out the hindrance, whatever that hindrance is. Remember how Paul warned in Galatians 5 verse 9, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And just as a little yeast then permeates through the whole loaf, so a little leaven, what damage that brings, it must then be cast out. There is then to be this great prudence. Be not afraid, only believe. And cast away as best as we can with the Lord's help those things which are a hindrance to faith. As I thought upon Jairus in this chapter, I thought of those beautiful words in Isaiah 42 in the verse 3, where it says, a bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax or the smoking wick shall he not quench.
A broken reed shall he not break. And maybe there's one in the meeting this morning and you feel that you're like a broken reed. You're so injured. What does the Lord do with that broken reed? He doesn't take it and cast it away.
The Lord does not break the broken reed, the bruised reed, but rather he strengthens it afresh.
Or maybe you feel like a smoking wick. You know how as the candle is going out, it flickers and then it gives off that offensive smoke. As you think back in those days then, as people used the oil lamps, the oil is running low. The lamp is flickering, there's that offensive smoke. And as God's people sometimes are like that, the Lord does not quench whatever is in that flame. He doesn't quench whatever fire is there. But rather he adds the oil and he kindles the fire fresh, or the flame afresh. You might feel this morning then that you are as that smoking wick. But the Lord does not quench the fire. But rather, he rekindles it. And oh, today then that you would see God's mercy toward his people. And he brings this word of great encouragement.
Stop being afraid. Only believe. And may our hearts then be strengthened this day. May fear be cast away as we rest more and more upon Christ and his work for us. We trust the Lord and bless his word to all our hearts.